the first few sections. All right. And do you have any questions about the Bhagavad Gita? So you understand everything what you've read. Very good. Well, I would like to read right now. All right, let me read to you an incident from the Mahabharata. And then we'll try to incorporate Bhagavad Gita into it. How does that sound? So this section is called Duryodhan Decides to Die. Duryodhan was devastated. His heart was splitting in two. He had achieved the opposite of what he had intended. Instead of humiliating his enemies, he had himself been shamed. As he made his way back to the city, he moved as if he were unconscious and without will. He said nothing to anyone, leaving the Pandavas to worship the sacred fire and the Brahmins. Duryodhan hung his head. The Kaurava prince could not stop thinking of his defeat. After he had gone about 10 miles back through the forest, evening fell, and he ordered his party to stop for the night. They set up camp on a grassy bank of a nearby river. Duryodhan entered his tent. Sitting on a bedstead as bright as fire, he looked like an eclipsed moon. Unable to sleep, he remained lost in painful thoughts. Just before sunrise, Karna came to see him. Having fled far from the battlefield when defeated by the Gandharvas, Karna had not witnessed the Kauravas' capture. When he returned, no one had been able to tell him how his friend Duryodhan had been humiliated. He had therefore assumed that the prince had overpowered the Gandharvas by his own might. Praising Duryodhan's strength and prowess, Karna said, "O descendant of Kuru, it is indeed fortunate that you are alive and we have met again. By good luck, you have defeated the Gandharvas, who possess great might as well as the powers of illusion. I was forced to flee for my life, my body mangled by arrows. It is a great wonder that I see you and your brothers and wives here, safe, after that superhuman battle. What man could have done what you have done today?" Karna's words only increased Duryodhan's grief. He replied in a choked voice, "O Radheya, you do not know what has happened, so I am not angry with you. Although you think that I have overcome the Gandharvas, in fact, my brothers and I were all defeated. After a furious battle, we were taken prisoner and carried through the skies." Karna was amazed. Duryodhana related to him how the four Pandavas had come to rescue them on Yudhishthira's order, and how the Gandharva king had revealed to Yudhishthira the Kuru's real purpose in coming to Dvaitavana. Duryodhan then says, "When I heard Chitrasena speaking in the Pandavas' presence, I felt like entering the earth. Alas, what great sorrow could be mine than to be bound by chains and offered as tribute to Yudhishthira in the sight of all of our women. I have always persecuted those brothers. They are my enemies and will always be so. Yet it was they who released me from captivity. I am now indebted to them for my life. I would have preferred to die in the battle than to suffer such a fate." Duryodhan began to cry, and Karna tried to console him. After some time, Duryodhan managed to regain his composure. His voice was grave. "Listen, friend, I will now remain here and fast until death. Let all my brothers and other relatives return to the city. I have been insulted by my enemy. I can never return to Hastinapur. I, who was respected and feared by my enemies, and who enhanced the respect of my friends, now I have become a source of joy to my enemies and grief to my friends. If I return to the city, what could I say to my father? What could I say to Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, Ashwatthama, Vidura, and the other Kuru chiefs?" In his suffering, Duryodhan realized his foolishness. What madness had driven him to come out to the forest? He recalled the many times Vidura had tried to counsel him. Duryodhan had never paid even the slightest regard. Surely he was now reaping the results of his own stupidity. It was unbearable. Death was the only recourse. Looking at Karna, his eyes filled with tears, Duryodhan said, "Men like me, puffed up with vanity and insolence, are never blessed for any length of time, even if they obtain prosperity and knowledge. Alas, I have been wicked. Now I suffer. Leave me here to die. I can no longer continue to live. What man could be rescued by his enemies and then drag on in his miserable existence? Proud as I am, the enemy has laughed at me, finding me deprived of my prowess." So this admission by Duryodhan is very instructive. We can learn from this what he's saying. Because even though he has been very, very evil throughout his whole life, even here now we can learn something valuable. As he himself admits, notice what he says, "Men like me, puffed up with vanity and insolence, are never blessed for any length of time, even if they obtain prosperity and knowledge." So, we are taught by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, by Lord Chaitanya in his Shikshastaka. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, that there are 20 items of knowledge. The first item of knowledge, humility. That's the first item of knowledge, according to Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya teaches his followers that always, always, always remain meek and humble. Trinadapi sunichena turar eva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. He says here vanity. Vanity is also in the Christian Bible one of the deadly sins. In fact, there is a movie, the devil's in the movie, and he says, "Vanity is my favorite sin." Because actually from vanity comes everything else. And what is the first thing that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita? You said you studied the first chapters of Bhagavad Gita. So what's the first lesson Krishna teaches Arjuna? Let's see if you actually have learned. What is the first thing that Krishna teaches Arjuna? Do you remember? Alright. So, Naveen Shyam, what is the first lesson that Krishna teaches Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita? Please share with everyone. We are not the body. You knew that. You wanted to see if I knew it. Yes, we are not the body. Vanity means I am this body. That's vanity. I identify with this body and I must make it so beautiful and wonderful and I must satisfy, and everything is about me. That was Duryodhan through his whole life. The whole reason Duryodhana hates the Pandavas is before the Pandavas came to Hastinapur, they were in the forest. So Duryodhana and his brothers, they were the darlings of Hastinapur. So everyone was giving them all the attention, all the love, all the praise. They were feeling like we are supreme. Then when the Pandavas come to live, all of a sudden, they're superior to them in every respect. The Pandavas are superior, and everybody naturally, automatically starts praising them, and Duryodhan begins jealousy. He becomes envious and jealous because now he's no longer the cynosure, number one. And it begins from the youth and as they grow up. As he says here, puffed up. And also it was mentioned how all throughout his life he never listened to Vidura. All throughout the Mahabharata, Vidura is constantly giving instructions to his brother Dhritarashtra. Don't do what you're doing. You should do this. But Dhritarashtra never listens to his brother. Why? Again, Dhritarashtra also makes the same mistake, the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita. Because all Dhritarashtra cares about is his affection for his son. He won't chastise Duryodhan. Why? He's afraid, is it one? No. He lets Duryodhan do one sinful action after another, one malicious deed after another. And so many times Vidura tells Dhritarashtra, you should censor your son, you should not do that. But Dhritarashtra never listens to Vidura. And Vidura also, we recall the event when Draupadi was dragged into the assembly, right? At that time, Vidura chastised Duryodhan and chastised Dhritarashtra, but they did not listen. Let's continue with this little section. Duryodhan asked Karna to bring Dushasana to him. When the prince arrived, Duryodhan said, O descendant of Bharat, hear my words. I order you to be installed in my place as the earth's ruler. Become the refuge of your friends and relatives and the terror of your enemies. Always bestow charity upon the Brahmins and cherish your gurus. As Vishnu protects the celestials, so you should protect your dependents. Duryodhan clasped his brother by the shoulders. Go, dear brother, rule this wide earth. I shall end my life here, if only that it actually happened. But here is Duryodhan. He's now realizing, and he's actually coming to very good conclusions. Because even at his birth, it was said, Vidura said to his brother, this child should be abandoned. At his birth, that's how evil Duryodhan was. And Vidura said, this child should... But did Dhritarashtra listen? No. Too much affection. Blind. He was not only blind physically, he was blind in his affection to his sons. Never chastised Duryodhana. Never stopped him. Never stopped him. Later on, when Krishna comes to the assembly as the final, you could say the final straw to avert the war, Krishna comes and speaks. And Krishna even tells Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra, it's in your hands. You can stop this war right now. All you have to do is tell your... Just imprison your son. Just do it. Nope, can't do it. Dhritarashtra can't do it. Why? Blind affection. Dushasan was grief-stricken. He lowered his face and said, "O brother, please give up your determination to die. It can never be. Do not accept such a path. How can I become king in your place? The earth may split, the heavens may fall, and the sun may lose its heat. But I can never rule the earth without you." Crying out, "Relent! Relent!" Again and again he cried. Dushasan fell at his brother's feet. "Duryodhan, you alone shall be king for 100 years, and I shall be your servant." Then Karna said, "O heroes, what will this achieve? Weeping does not drive away grief." That's a good point Karna is making. Weeping does not drive away grief. Even we see in the Bhagavad, your beginning section of Bhagavad Gita, repeatedly Krishna says, "Natvam sochitum arhasi." You do not deserve to lament. It's repeated several times in that second chapter. That only less intelligent Shudras and those who are without knowledge, they lament unnecessarily. So what Karna is saying here is true. Do not grieve and thus give more joy to your enemies. Resting his hand on Duryodhan's shoulder, Karna continued, "The Pandavas only did their duty when they rescued you, for it is always the duty of subjects to do what is good for their king. Under your protection, the Pandavas happily reside in your dominion. They are dependent upon you, O king. It is not otherwise. Do not indulge in sorrow like an ordinary man. O Duryodhan, we are all suffering to hear you speak of dying. Be blessed, rise up, and return to your city. Console your relatives." Karna tried his best to convince his friend to change his mind. He pointed out that although he had subjugated and even enslaved the Pandavas, they had not resolved to die. It was not wonderful that they had rescued him. There were many instances where a mighty king had somehow been overpowered by his enemies and been rescued by his troops. The fortunes of war were unpredictable. Sometimes one gained victory, other times one was defeated. A warrior had to learn how to tolerate life's reverses if he wanted to ultimately gain success. Karna, who was covered in wounds from the battle, laughed as he continued, "Therefore, O king, rise up. Do not become the butt of jokes for other kings by dying like this. Go forth and earn everlasting fame. Put this setback behind you. Victory will surely attend you." Although he was repeatedly beseeched by both Dushasan and Karna, Duryodhan did not rise up. He had decided to die. We see in Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning, Arjuna drops his bow. He doesn't want to fight. And he tells Krishna, "Govinda, I shall not fight." But then Arjuna has enough sense to turn to Krishna, "Shishyasteham shadimang tvang prapanam." Now I'm your disciple. Please instruct me. And Krishna begins his instructions. And repeatedly throughout the whole Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna tell over and over again to Arjuna? Fight. Get up and fight. That is what Krishna's same message throughout the whole Bhagavad Gita. Now you should get up and fight. That is your duty. Shakuni entered the tent and heard Karna and Dushasan's attempts to encourage Duryodhan. Seeing Duryodhan's resolution And knowing that he was incapable of tolerating any insult, Shakuni said, O descendant of Kuru, you have heard Karna's speech. It is full of wisdom. Why then are you foolishly throwing away the wealth which I have won for you? Yes, he won that by cheating. Shakuni, what a rascal. That whole episode, the gambling match, was so absurd. Yes. And it was pointed out at that time by Vidura once again. Vidura chastised Shakuni and all of them. Yes, this gambling match is a complete debauchery, sinful, wicked, evil. They didn't care. Their greed. The whole gambling match, why? Why that gambling match? Because Duryodhan and the brothers went to the Rajasuya sacrifice. And at the Rajasuya sacrifice, Yudhishthir was given so much wealth. And after Duryodhan left, all he could think about was, I can't believe it. And he was telling everyone that Yudhishthir has these kinds of wealths I've never seen before. And Duryodhan was so jealous and envious and greedy. He wanted that for himself. He could not tolerate that Yudhishthir had all this wealth, which was given to him by all these kings, and Krishna himself came personally and gave him all these special gifts. Duryodhan was so jealous. We learn in the Bhagavad Gita the three gates which lead to hell: lust, anger, greed. Even when Duryodhan went to his father, because when Duryodhan was speaking like this, Shakuni said, No, we don't have to fight them. Duryodhan, we can get all that wealth by my playing the dice. And Shakuni always had his dice with him, just like we always have our japa mala. That was Shakuni's mala, the dice. So Shakuni told Duryodhan, No. I can get you all of that wealth that Yudhishthir just got by the dice game. So they went back to Hastinapur and they presented this to Dhritarashtra. And Dhritarashtra said, No, gambling is bad. It creates dissension. Dhritarashtra knew that gambling is so bad. He knew that it was evil. Yet, did he stop it? Nope. He did. He should have stopped it. But he didn't have that guts to chastise his son and stop it. That was his failure. So as parents, sometimes we have to say no. Even though the child is crying and demanding, still the parent sometimes has to say no. That's what it means to be a good parent. A good parent doesn't say yes, now go to hell. No, sometimes he has to say no. Let's continue. Shakuni had always recognized that the Pandavas were superior in strength. Thus he had advised Duryodhan to defeat them at dice rather than face them in battle. Shakuni also recognized that the five Pandavas were devoted to virtue and truth. They posed no threat to the Kauravas at all. Whatever enmity and antagonism was there between the two families came only from the Kauravas. Yes, because Yudhishthir was known as Ajatashatru. He didn't have any enemies. But it seemed as if there was no way to overcome the Pandavas. Perhaps it would be better to accept the fact with good grace rather than to be annihilated in some final confrontation, which is what actually happened. That final confrontation came. The battle was fought at Kurukshetra. Krishna and the Pandavas were successful, and all the 100 sons gone. Gone. So, Shakuni now says, Duryodhan, your behavior makes no sense. You owe it to the Pandavas to repay them for their favor. Do not undermine what they have done for you by lamenting. Rather, go to them with a cheerful heart and return their kingdom. You will thereby win both virtue and renown. Establish brotherly relations with the Pandavas, and then you will be happy. This is actually very good advice. But he's saying it to agitate him, because he knows he's never going to do it. But actually what he says, if it's taken at face value, would have been great. Shakuni thought, now would be an opportunity for Duryodhan to display his nobility. By going to the Pandavas and offering their kingdom in return for being saved, Duryodhan would reverse the situation. Instead of appearing foolish, he would appear generous and upright. The Pandavas would also appear the recipients of his mercy. Duryodhan bent down and lifted the weeping Dushasan. After hearing Karna and Shakuni speak, Duryodhan was overwhelmed by shame. Despair overtook him completely. I have nothing no more to do with virtue, friendship, wealth, renown, sovereignty, or enjoyment. Do not oppose me. Leave me, all of you. I am resolved to abandon my life. Go back to the city, and on my behalf worship my gurus with respect. Karna said, O King of Kings, how can we leave you here? Your way is our way. We are all united in happiness and distress. Give up this resolve, or we too shall die. Still, Duryodhan did not waver in his determination. He spread kusha grass on the ground, took off his royal garments, and put on rags, purified himself by touching water, and sat down in yogic posture. With a desire to attain heaven, he began to observe the prior vow of fasting until death. He stopped speaking, and ceasing all other external activities, half closed his eyes. Soon, he was meditating. To be continued. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra.